It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Tonight was not their night.
The slant on Burks comes up with the interception. The third interception of the night, thrown by Prescott, and the former Green Bay Packer comes up with the pick.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby. We got the Warriors winning their season opener. Largest margin of victory in a season opener in team history. Beating the Blazers by 35 last night. And we got Niners and Cowboys on Sunday. Prime time. Mike Tirico on the call on NBC Sports. Of course, Chris Collinsworth, the color analyst. And they destroyed the Dallas Cowboys last season, 42-10. And we were talking about Shasky. Who's the better unit? Is it the defense or the offense? I mean, wow, they just blew away the Dallas Cowboys on primetime television. And so let's see what happens here on Sunday in a must-win situation. And if you can't get up for the Dallas Cowboys, Niner fans, then I don't know what's going on with you. These are the Dallas Cowboys, for crying out loud.
I hear you. I just think that we have so many issues with the team right now, and there's so many things going awry. It's hard for a lot of Niner fans to, you know, direct their energy toward the Cowboys.
It's hard to get ready for this game?
No, I'm saying that we're not ready for the game. I'm just saying I think we're spending the bulk of our energy self-diagnosing what our issues are as opposed to directing our energy toward the Cowboys.
Well, you know what? It's Cowboy Hate Week. You know, and you got Brock Purdy. Still got Kyle Shanahan, who's a hell of a coach and a lot better. I think he's a – Mike McCarthy's on the other sideline here. All right? You got the owner talking about the type of things that we all think we should be looking at is we're designing bad plays. He's literally telling the coach that he's designing bad plays. And then Mike McCarthy shoots back saying, I don't think we have had bad concepts of bad plays, but I'll go back and check. So there's already a disconnect with the owner and the head coach. The Cowboys are a mess. The Cowboys are a mess. I mean, the owner is taking shots at him left and right. Jerry Jones, I don't want to come in here on Monday morning talking about a loss to Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. These frauds. You know, I remember TC calling Kyle Shanahan a high-level loser. No, the Cowboys are high-level losers. Those are high-level losers. These are the 49ers who will play for big stakes and big chips in four of the last 5 years.
High-level loser, bro.
Yeah, no. That's Dallas Cowboys.
I'm extremely worried about this game.
Of course you are.
And I'm extremely worried that Dallas, coming off of a bye, has their entire season and coaching staff on the line in this game. That's the way it feels to me. And I know that the Niners have a lot at stake. The best thing that the Niners have going for them right now is the division, obviously, right? Like, that would be your silver lining. I don't think a wild card is coming out of the NFC West. No. Crazy things happen, but it just doesn't feel that way if you were going to project, given how difficult the schedule is. To say this is a must win feels like an understatement.
Oh, it's massive. You got to win this game to stabilize your season. There's no doubt you have to get to 500 because all of a sudden you got Christian McCaffrey who somehow, some way is going to come back with the bilateral Achilles tendonitis. Drake Greenlaw is looming to be back in this lineup. So you got some reinforcements coming. Talanoa Hufanga, hopefully he get his season right back on track. And he could come back in the next few weeks here after having the wrist surgery or whatnot.
Can I stop you there? I think Mustafa's the better player right now.
He is. He is right now. But, you know, Shanahan's going to go back to Hufanga, who's going to trust. He trusts Hufanga. He was an all-pro a couple years ago. That's why.
It feels so long ago. He's a trusted
agent. It is, but it's a trusted agent who knows the scheme inside and out. So there may be a spot for him on the football field. We'll see about that. But at least you got a guy who gives you good vibes. And at the very least, he could play special teams. I don't have to worry about Hufanga. He took some bad angles of defense, but only special teams, you can make some tackles here. So I'm not coming into this game worried. I feel like the Niners are going to be able to run the ball against this team and be able to run the ball relentlessly and get back to what their bread and butter is. And do they have a matchup for George Kittle? So I'm looking at it from a Niner prism said, they got to beat the hell out of this team on Sunday, and you get your season right back on track.
No, it's a good point. There's one area that I have to see the Niners play well, not just for winning this game, but like encouragement signs for the rest of the season. If you can't stop the run against this Dallas team that can't run the ball at all, that is a fatal flaw that could do you in this year. Like, before I even am willing to admit it. Like, Bonte, name the running back situation for the Cowboys.
Yeah, Zeke, Deuce Vaughn, and, of course, Rico Dowdle. Is it Dowdle?
Do they have a 100-yard rusher this year?
I don't know. I mean, they're not a good running team. And if they're going to sit back and drop back and throw the ball 35 to 40 times, then it should be another big Nick Bosa day. Who Nick Bosa has stepped his game up the last 2 weeks. I give him credit. I give credit when credit is due. Nick Bosa's played phenomenal football the last 2 weeks. This should be another big-time game for him on primetime television against this Dallas Cowboys offensive line. I look at their tackle situation. Terrence Steele at right tackle. I see Tyler Guyton at left tackle. Nick Bosa's going to eat this week. He's going to eat this week. And whoever's the opposite of Nick Bosa, whether it's Leonard Floyd, he should be able to eat this week against the Dallas Cowboys offensive line.
The big plays, they have to negate. Like, defensively, they've just got to find a way. I'm assuming it's going to be Deamon or Lenore on CeeDee Lamb because he likes to work outside, inside. He's all over the place. I would exclusively put Deamon or Lenore on him and beg someone else to beat you.
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb. Well, you got the tight end, too. The tight end's not bad at all. What's his name? Jake Ferguson, number 87.
Right.
He's their second option, so you got to find him. That could be Fred Warner. Can D Winters cover space? You know, that's where Ferguson, the tight end, where Dak Prescott's looking around trying to check it down to somebody. This is where that other linebacker outside of Fred Warner, because you want Fred Warner in the middle of the field. You want him kind of spy Dak Prescott if he wants to leave the pocket, kind of guard the grass in the middle of the field. Devondre Campbell, D Winters all over again. One of those guys is going to have to step in pass coverage here as that second or third linebacker. Will the Cowboys go to a number? Because what the Chiefs did, they were very smart at this, Shasky. Very good. This is where Andy Reid is so excellent. He kept two or three tight ends on the field multiple times to keep the Niners in their base defense, knowing that they would have to go to three linebackers. And Campbell was going to have to see the field no matter what. So Andy Reid was smart with that. Will Mike McCarthy go to the double tight end sets to try to keep the Niners in their 4-3 base defense this Sunday? Something I'm going to monitor because the Niners love to get to that nickel. And if you get to that nickel, you take Campbell off the field and you got Winters and Fred Warner there in the middle of the field playing a linebacker spot. Kansas City was very, very smart in going to two tight end sets, keeping Devondre Campbell on the football field.
I felt like Jonah Gray was wide open how many times? Two, when they wanted to get big yards. And honestly, the Charvarius Ward breakup on Travis Kelce downfield could have easily been a PI because his back was turned to him. I know he made a nice breakup. That game, oh my goodness. But I'm going back to the Niners here because you're like, hey, it's about the Niners, it's about the Niners. I feel like confidence-wise, this is a huge game for Brock Purdy. I saw a guy that just wasn't trusting the field, wasn't trusting the play calls, wasn't trusting himself. He felt very hesitant and indecisive in the game against the Kansas City Chiefs. And this is one where I think for his confidence, he needs to get back. Forget stats. I don't care about PFF rankings. I don't care about quarterback ratings. I don't care about QBR and all that. Just, does he pass the eyeball test? For so many weeks in a row, he did. And the last couple of games, I feel like his confidence is not, it's not gone. It's just a little rattled.
Well, he had a pretty good game in Seattle, right?
Second half was very touch and go.
I mean, you know, they dropped 36 on the Seattle Seahawks. I mean, he was solid, trending in the right direction.
It was a 6-point game until, I don't
know. They blew some things, you know, they blew some things late in the game, and it got hairy.
Before the Renardo Green interception, I was sweating big time.
Well, you sweat anyway. I mean, come on.
You
were. Nothing new.
They had a 10-point lead, and.
I don't stress like you, man. Listen, I understand why Niner fans will freak out after seeing the Cardinals and Rams game. I'm not knocking you for that. But when I'm watching a football game and it gets close, these games usually do get close. That's why we have the whole witching hour during the red zone. These games are coming down to one possession. There's a lot of parity in pro football these days. So I'm not going to sweat it out and say, hey, buckle up, baby. There's going to be a little turbulence. And personally, I like adversity. Mm-hmm. I like to see how resilient my team is. And so far, the Niners haven't shown that they're that resilient. Against Seattle, they show some resiliency. So I like turbulence. I like to buckle up the seatbelt and go for a roller coaster ride. That's what makes this stuff fun. Now, the vibes, right? We're talking about the vibes with the Golden State Warriors. The vibes are great with the Warriors right now. There's no doubt. They haven't lost a game in the preseason or regular season yet. They blow away the Portland Trailblazers, shooting 50% from three after the first quarter. Now, what about the vibes in Santa Clara? What about the vibes out there? Well, Shanahan touched on the mood and the vibe down in Santa Clara. He talked yesterday to the media.
Yeah, I felt good today. I mean, Monday's always a rough day, but we spend a long time on Monday. I mean, we do that from early in the morning till really right when I'm done with you guys. After that press conference is the first time we move on. And then we see the players today. So they do their own thing on Tuesdays, and they came in today. And we've had good meetings. We just had a good walkthrough, and guys are ready for the week.
Guys are ready for the week. Now, who do you lean on, Shanahan, when times are tough?
We got great captains. We got a great team. I mean, there's not, you know, we've been in this situation before. We're not, everything's going perfect, and you're a little backs against the wall. But our group, our culture, I mean, it's never really been an issue. I've never had to make a big deal about stuff. And anytime that there is, I'll call guys and address it. But our team's got, we know each other pretty well. I think they know me pretty well. And we got a group, that bunch of good people that don't blame each other and know what you got to do after stuff like this. There's only one thing. You can sit and talk and evaluate all this stuff, or you can get to work and find a way to be better the next week.
You know, Shasky, I don't think Shanahan and Lynch get enough credit for keeping this locker room together. They've had some slow starts. They have. They had the 3-game losing streak last year when they started off 5-0. Everybody was doom and gloom. Remember, they started back in 2022. They were 3-4. They were 1-2, and then 3-4, and the sky was falling. They get the win. Kind of similar to this game coming up. They had to go down to L.A., take on the Rams Halloween weekend. They were 3-4. They get a big win where McCaffrey goes with the hat trick, the throw, the passing touchdown, the rushing touchdown, the receiving touchdown. They go into bye week 4-4, and they start to roll. They roll from that point on. 2021, we know how they started. They were 2-4 after losing in the monsoon to Indianapolis on Sunday Night Football. Then they had the big game against Chicago. They come back and lose to Arizona when I started calling them the stinking-ass Niners, and they were 3-5. And as you know, they flipped their season. But Shanahan deserves a little credit here, as we all, you know, a lot of talking points about Shanahan and what he is in and what he's not and what he hasn't won. What he has done is help keep this culture, this locker room intact during his entire tenure. I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
Yeah, the hard part is that just certain guys that you would hope would be anchors to the team for the second half are probably unavailable. Like Brandon Ayuk, done. You know, like that is a huge loss. I don't know what you're going to get from Deebo Samuel this week. I'm assuming in a couple weeks he'll be back and like 100%. I don't know. Like the guy had water in his lungs. You know, that's not good at all. Pneumonia is horrible. And then I look at George Kittle being day to day with the foot. I'm assuming he's going to play. He's been really good this year. I just feel like overall, even though maybe he doesn't have the numbers to back that up, but the CMC absence, I don't think he's coming back anytime soon. Well, and then Jordan Mason didn't run with the same physical authority with the shoulder. I'm hoping maybe a week removed, he'll be a little better. So they're really banged up.
Yeah, they're banged up. They're banged up. But again, the culture that Shanahan hasn't lost, as we keep talking, in the NFL, it's easy to lose the locker room. Like, it feels like Mike McCarthy is on the verge of losing the locker room. Brandon Staley, who's now part of the 49ers staff, lost the Chargers locker room. He lost it with that organization. Shanahan, despite all the turbulence, again, they have not, they still believe in this guy. They still think, and think about this. Again, I'm going to go with the positives because I feel good today with the Warriors. I'm feeling real good right now. I just feel good because I think the Niners played tough against Kansas City. And as you watched the game a couple times, the quarterback was bad. But maybe it's an anomaly because Brock Purdy's been really good during his tenure with the 49ers. They had a chance to take the lead if they don't miscommunicate with Ronnie Bell. They're going up 15-14 at bare minimum late third quarter. So they were in that game against Kansas City. But here's another positive for you, Shasky. Here's one for you. Arizona's going to Miami to take out Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins are desperate. I think they light up the Cardinals coming off a short week. Cardinals had a short week.
The Dolphins Chargers. Light up. Okay.
I think they're going to beat the Cardinals. I do. I really do. That's a short week for Arizona and a long flight down to South Beach, Miami, Sunday. Yeah. So they got a quick turnaround. And they're going to be feeling good with Tua. They're going to support him. And I think the Dolphins' offense start to click again. Seattle's hosting Buffalo. All right. 4-3, and if they lose, the Niners, guess what? All right, back in first place in the NFC West going into the bye week. So just get a win on Sunday. Even if Seattle beats Buffalo, I don't care. You're one game behind Seattle. You own the tiebreaker over them. You see them again at Levi's Stadium in a few weeks. It's not all doom and gloom for the 49ers. The season's not over. Again, I had to take a step back and say, you lost to the Chiefs, who are undefeated, who are a Super Bowl favorite, and they're defending Super Bowl champs, and you're going toe-to-toe with them. And the positive that we didn't talk about was the defense taking a step forward.
Look, the season's not over. Look, the defense did play well, but they still gave up literally 9 consecutive runs to end that game.
They were tired, man. They were gassed up. They're cooked.
Well, well, that's part of complementary football. So I'm saying to myself, like, I know the defense can play, you know, well, but can the offense hold up their end of the bargain? And without Brandon Ayuk, with a limited Deebo Samuel, with a limited George Kittle, with no CMC, it's been hit and miss. Like, it's been very spotty. And I think second half, it feels like the offense just hasn't been the same. I mean, they went five drives in the first quarter and barely moved the ball.
Well, you know, you got to tip your hat to Kansas City and Spags. Again, we talked about the rushing numbers with Derrick Henry and Bijan Robinson and all the running backs they've played. They shut dudes down. That's what Kansas City does. And right now, you got to figure out a way to navigate this offense or navigate against the Chiefs defense, but don't have to worry about them, hopefully, until February.
Mike Zimmer, you know, the DC for the Dallas Cowboys, I don't think he's the greatest, but he's actually been kind of tough against Shanahan. I feel like his linebackers have. No, am I wrong?
Don't do that. Don't do that.
I mean, Jimmy G against the Vikings, you know, had his moments. They sat down. Hendricks, he knew exactly where they were going to throw.
Man, I can't believe you're doing that.
What?
I can't believe you're going to do that after that. After how that day went down. You're going to now give Mike Zimmer credit for that game?
What's wrong with giving Mike Zimmer some credit?
For 5 years, and you ripped Jimmy G, said he's not the guy, this and that. And I say, well, they actually played the Vikings defense. That's a very good defense. Oh, I don't care about Mike Zimmer. Now we're worried about Mike Zimmer. You're just worried right now, Shasky.
It's called maturation, Bonte. I can admit when I'm like having a shortcoming.
I need you to be fired up for this game, man.
I am fired up, but I'm very skeptical.
No, you were worried and shook right now. I need you to get out of that. It's Saturday Night Football. It's the Dallas Cowboys. All right, if they lose, all right, Monday morning you want to be freaked out about the team? Sure, why not? But we've seen this team bounce back over and over. Don't they deserve the benefit of the doubt? Don't they deserve that?
Bonte, in every year where they've started off rough and bounced back, they've had a magic bullet in the back pocket that we didn't see coming. Deebo playing a little bit of running back and changing up the offense, and then obviously the acquisition of CMC is like one of an all-time, you know, regular season moves. I don't understand where they're going to get a magic, you know, elixir from this time. Like, if CMC was granted some health and he came back, that'd be a huge jolt. Well, like, losing Brandon Ayuk is a huge loss.
Well, you get Juwan
it's
Jennings.
A huge loss.
You get Juwan Jennings back, and Greg Cosell said yesterday with Willard and Dibbs,
I thought Pearsall running routes looked pretty juicy this week. Huh. You know, so he's only going to get better. You know, what that means in terms of production, no one can answer that. But I thought he looked pretty quick running routes. Plus, he's got some physicality to him. There were a couple of times he was pressed, and he ran through the press. So I'm really anxious to see him play more, which he will, obviously, because Ayuk's not there.
And now you get a little more Jacob Cowing. And you said Ricky Pearsall looked juicy.
Was that surprising to you? Because
it was very surprising to me because I didn't see juicy on
me
Sunday.
Neither. I'll take his word on it though because he obviously knows his craft. And but I'm surprised to hear that.
Yeah, I don't know if I saw juicy, but you know, and talking to Baldy about it after the game and on the show on
what
Tuesday,
did Baldy think?
Just thought the receivers couldn't uncover. They couldn't separate. So, but you get Jacob Cowley with his speed, and before the game, you know me, box score Bonte. Walking the field, and a trusted agent, Bonte, trust me, McCaffrey's going to be back in mid-November. Now, I don't know what that means long-term.
Mid-November.
That's so coming up. That's in a few weeks.
They're off the November 3rd weekend. They have a bye, correct?
They have a bye after this week.
Yeah, so then that would be the 10th?
It could be the Seattle game.
Is that the 10th?
It's possible. It's possible. Could be the Seattle game. It could be...
The 17th is the Seahawks, right?
17th is the Seahawks. Maybe Green Bay November 24th. Maybe. Who knows? But I was told November. And they said, trust me on that. I was like, nah, come on, man.
Whose
said,
agent trust me was on this?
No, I said a trusted agent of mine.
Oh, a trusted agent.
Trusted
I apologize.
Agent of mine. Yeah, trusted agent of mine. Trusted agent of mine.
Can you maybe source something else that this trusted agent of yours has given you that would lead you to believe that they're very credible?
I just know that whatever he's given me when it comes to the Warriors and the Niners.
Oh, it's duality.
He's been 100% correct.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you can believe that if you want to. I'm just telling you. Like I said,
is this the same guy who thinks that Sam Darnold is a great thrower of the football?
I don't know. No, that's the Greg Papa, and that's Matt Maiocco. And you know what? Sam Darnold has been a great thrower of the football this season.
Then why are they trying to trade for Matt Stafford?
I don't know if that was
that odd.
Wasn't that who reported that?
I don't know. It was odd.
I don't know. Anybody credible report that?
Maybe it was a trusted agent.
I don't know. Well, you can believe what you want to believe, but I this guy has been good to me for many years.
I'll take your word on that.
And he's just like, but because he knows I'm a diehard Niner fan, he goes, trust me, man. McCaffrey's like my brother. He said McCaffrey's like my son. He go be back, and he's chomping at the bit. So,
like my son,
you know. I can't believe how shook you are for Cowboys Week, man. Matt Nahika, what's up with my guy?
Well, Michael Parsons is bound to have a big game. He's been due. Who? And this is a guy looking for big money, and I'm very worried about him attacking Colton McKivitz.
He's going to be a problem if he plays.
Have you seen the overall grade ratings for all of the offensive line? Like Trent Williams is not grading out very well. Again, I'm just going off my eye. PFF can sometimes lie, but Pooney's been good. Banks has not been as good this year as he was last year. Brendel's been terrible. McKivitz has been terrible. Like, their offensive line, and I actually thought the offensive line has played okay for the most part, but this last week, it was not good.
Are you going to the game on Sunday?
I'm 50-50.
50-50?
There's a lot going on in the Shasky household.
Well, you know, something I want you to look forward to if you do go to the game is the body language. The body language of the 49ers.
Yeah, I'm a big believer in that.
Because here's what Jerry Rice said about the Niners' body language before the KC game.
I look at body language before a game, you know, the opponent, the home team, and stuff like that. I just felt like we were not fired up for that game. And it showed. It showed, and you get the ball. I want to see an offense sprinting to the field saying, hey, let's go. And I'm just watching guys just move real slow and almost like, you know, like, hey, just another game. It really doesn't mean that much. All of that. That's what I saw. That's the body language that I saw.
What do you make of that?
What do I make of that? I completely agree. I'm the guy that's like, and I know you do the binoculars, but I'm looking over at like who's throwing with who, who's dapping up who, like what's going on here. I feel him on this, and like when I again, this is not a big deal, but like J.R. Brown helping up Kansas City Chiefs, stop, dude. Like no, like great example that play by Mahomes, and I know D. Winters is a young player. If that's Dre Greenlaw's putting him into the fourth row. Like, there's not a question in my mind. He's taking the 15-yard penalty. He's putting Mahomes in the fourth row. Is he not? Like, they miss a little nasty right now. They, you know what? That's why I love Malik Mustafa. He's nasty.
Well, if that's Dre Greenlaw, I think Mahomes runs out of bounds.
Maybe.
He runs out of bounds. So, you know, he knew that it was D. Winters, a young player who's trying to get his. Look, Drake Greenlaw was raw like that too when he first played. Overrunning things, over pursuing. It's going to happen. You got to let these kids play through it. So, Sunday's a massive game. We're going to talk to Matt Lively, KPIX, Channel 5 on the other side. He's going to break down what he sees at practice. Will Deebo Samuel play? How's Ricky Pearsall looking? The status of George Kittle? What's going on defensively? Must-win game on Sunday, folks, and then we'll get right back to the Warriors because I understand the vibes are good. And for some reason, the Niners are bringing a lot of people down. This is life in the NFL. It's going to be some turbulence, folks. Aren't we? Don't we like to face adversity? Is this new generation just don't want to face adversity? We want everything handed to us. We just want to get ahead to the Super Bowl trip to New Orleans. Come on, folks. Come on, man. There's a lot of season left. Act like they're eliminating from the playoffs. I can't believe Niner fans right now. I'm so disappointed in 49er fans. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm beyond disappointed in 49er fans. What's coming up in the game? Brushing by Valvoline, Instant Oil Change, Matt Lively, KPIX, Channel 5, to give us the lay of the land down in Santa Clara, and we'll get right back to the Golden State Warriors. Valvoline, Instant Oil Change, and I need one. I may need one next week. 15-minute drive-through oil change. Visit the friendly expert technicians at your local Valvoline Instant Oil Change to check fluids, tire pressure, windshield wipers. I may need some of those. Batteries and much, much more. Locations and coupons at BayAreaOilChange.com.
Bay Area is Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Vontae Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
We'll get to the Warriors here. We could get to the Warriors with Matt Lively at the end of this interview, but we are talking Niners with Matt Lively, KPIX, Channel 5. Does a hell of a job for Channel 5, him and Vern Glenn, the dynamic duo. I got to meet Matt Lively in the press box this past Sunday as he joins us here on the River Islands Guest Line and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop, Shasky?
Wait a minute. You guys met?
Yeah, I met. I got to meet him in the press box. Yeah,
Matt, so. Did you pay homage to the king?
I mean, I said hello. Homage? I don't know if I paid homage.
No.
Who's usually a dowry of some sort? I don't know.
I tried giving him some food in the press box. He didn't want it, so yeah. I tried my best, though.
Hey, trying to watch my weight, man. You know, the buttons on my suit was about to pop yesterday, man. I had to unbutton that sucker. It's like, damn, your boy needs to get back on a diet here. But no, listen, Matt Leifman's cool. He's so young, man. I was like, damn, you look like you're 18 years old. I was jealous. Not a wrinkle in your face, man.
Facial hair out.
I mean, you didn't even need makeup. I was like, damn, this kid, you know, pause. Hashtag pause. But, man,
where are you going, Diddy? I mean, geez, Louise.
Whoa. Relax. You know, Matt Lively.
I'm fashionable.
This guy, Shasky, is infatuated with
Diddy. No. America.
No. Shasky.
Me and Guru need to start our own side pod all about the Diddy trials.
I love the gossip. There's no doubt about that. Here? All right, give us the lay of the land down to Santa Clara, Matt. The gossip down there. First and foremost, Deebo Samuel. What's going on with him? How's he looking? How's he feeling? What did you hear about Deebo yesterday?
Deebo, he was out there on the practice field. He was doing his own individual conditioning. Pneumonia is tricky, guys. I mean, we can talk about all these different injuries that football players get. It's a hip, it's an ankle, it's an elbow, which are three injuries that Niners currently have. Besides the fact, pneumonia is a different beast, and especially when you're playing a wide receiver position, you're never not moving on that field. So if you've got lungs, water in your lungs, which is what he had, that's why the Niners took him to the hospital after the game on Sunday, you have to monitor that very, very carefully. So I think the Niners are going to be pretty hush about Deebo Samuel this entire week and whether or not he's actually going to go. I'd say it was an encouraging sign that he was running on Wednesday at practice, but Kyle Shanahan, you know, he goes back to his default, I'm not a doctor. Which is what we, you know, he says whenever we ask more about an injury. But Deebo looked good, at least running. But whether or not he plays, that's one of those crazy injuries. There's really no telling.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that he's going to play in this one. You have naturally occurring fluid in your lungs at all times, but when your body, again, this is just good. Most people, when they start to have different failures of their organs, the lungs just overfill. It's like having bowling balls pressured on top of your chest. I don't even know how the guy suited up.
You had pneumonia, Shasky, before?
No, my dad. Like, I'm just saying, like, when my dad passed away, like, people get the fluid in their lungs, and it's kind of like the last resort. What ends up happening is the rest of your organs start failing, and, like, pneumonia is back up to many things, but the fluid going in your lungs, it's horrible. I don't think people understand how difficult it is to literally breathe with pneumonia, so I'd be very surprised if he ends up playing, because that's pretty serious.
Yeah, again, this is not a, you know, high ankle sprain. This is something that it's hard to monitor from an outside perspective. And if you're running out on the field, it's going to be a cold night in Santa Clara. It doesn't seem like good advice to send him out there.
Matt, now how does George Kittle look? Because, I mean, George is a gladiator, and he goes out there, and I think he's having a really good year, even if he's being a little underutilized by my liking. Day-to-day with, like, a foot injury, what's going on there?
Yeah, it is a little interesting with George Kittle. It actually seems like just about every week there's something about George Kittle on the injury report. It's been a hip. Now it's the foot that he aggravated in this game against the Chiefs, supposedly. I'm not too concerned about George Kittle because outside of one game, he has made a return, even though he's popped up on the injury report. Limited yesterday, did not actually participate, and we didn't talk to him in the locker room. Thursday is his regular day to talk, so I'm sure that there will be more information about Kittle coming out. But I will say this. We saw the game that he had last year against Dallas, the infamous T-shirt moment, which I'm sure he'll be wearing again. I have a hard time believing in this Niners offense full-fledged if Kittle is not able to go out there along with some of these wide receivers. Obviously, Ayuk's done, but if Deebo can't go and Juwan Jennings is nursing this hip thing, which is serious enough for him to miss last week, if you're without Kittle, there are some serious, serious difficulties for this offense.
What's up with Juwan Jennings? You mentioned the hip. Do we know what it is? Hip bruise, hip strain? What did he practice yesterday? What is going on with third and Juwan?
No, Juwan did not practice yesterday. Ugh. He didn't really practice last week. And that was a weird one because, you know, you didn't know much about that during the Seattle game. And then it comes up in practice or, you know, last week during media reports, Shanahan says, yeah, Juwan's not practicing last Wednesday. He didn't really practice the rest of the week. And then him being a did not practice yesterday was really concerning to me. I figured, all right, he's going to take extended rest off the Thursday night game, sit out this game on Sunday, and be ready to go for this week. So the fact that he wasn't out there spells out that this could be more serious than we thought.
You know, Brock's been so good for so long. And he's had a couple games here and there, but I was telling B, and this is just my feel. I'm watching, I'm like, he was just tentative. No, I hope it's a one-off, you know, because he's had moments this year where he's been excellent, even without having top playmakers out there. Where do you think he's at with his confidence right now? Just his confidence in himself, the offense, you know, throwing two guys that are maybe unproven or he doesn't have a lot of reps with. Where do you think he's at in his headspace right now?
Brock Purdy is a pretty level-headed guy. At any point that we talk to him, Brock is calm, cool, and collected. Last week, he was 17 of 31. I mean, they still threw it a ton. I would say that Brock is confident. I mean, in the fourth quarter, he's finding Jacob Cowing on these long. He underthrew him, but he's still throwing it out there. He's still letting it rip. And I think if a quarterback had lost their confidence, he's not looking for a rookie wide receiver down the sideline and trying to throw it 40-plus yards. And after the game and talking to him, Brock is just – he's always level-headed. He's disappointed in himself after a loss. He puts it on himself. He's got to improve. He's got to get better. But at no point has there been an indication that, oh, this guy's confidence is shot, or maybe more importantly, I don't think the locker room trusts him anymore. I don't think there's been any indication of this team losing faith in Brock Purdy, which would in turn allow him to lose his confidence. That's not really been the case yet.
Matt Lively, River Island's guest line here on the Morning Rose, does a great job for KPIX Channel 5. He's been down at practice, going to the games, traveling to the game. So what? I didn't realize this, Matt. I guess it was a big deal. We discussed this on the show yesterday. But what did you make of Shanahan talking to Brock after the game? Because I just thought, hey, head coach talking to the quarterback after a rough game. It happens. I know it happened in front of the media. But it got overblown, in my opinion. What did you make of the whole situation?
Yeah, I was standing right there. And I guess for us, we don't see Kyle Shanahan in the locker room because the way the protocol works here, just to break it down for everybody at home who doesn't have a press pass, which is most people, we walk into that locker room as Kyle Shanahan walks into his press conference. So as Shanahan is literally trucking down the hallway, the locker room opens. That now allows us to go in there. And then Shanahan's got his own private office. So he typically goes elsewhere once he's done standing on that podium. For whatever reason, he went back into the locker room to talk with Brock Purdy on Sunday. It wasn't aggressive. It wasn't dramatic. But I don't know if Shanahan necessarily realized that we were all waiting at George Kittle's locker, which is near Brock. So we kind of had a front row to this conversation that they had. I don't know 5 minutes, if it went on 5 minutes, but I would just say, you know, I didn't think much of it. Mm. I viewed it as a coach is breaking down something that he wanted to tell his quarterback. And at no point, you know, is Brock Purdy's job being threatened or anything here. I, you know, no one should be concerned that Shanahan is like, all right, one more and you're done here. You're like, you put up an egg against Dallas and I'm shipping you off to Dallas with Trey Lance. That's not happening. So I didn't make much of the conversation, and Kyle kind of like turned around during it and said, well, like, whoa. Almost to make a joke of it, so I'm not super concerned.
Matt, you're in the locker room all the time. This is a brief aside here, and Bonte's a big shoe guy, right, Bonte? Would you consider yourself a shoe guy?
I'm not the biggest shoe. I would say Jason Dumas is a bigger shoe guy than me.
No, I'm not asking, are there other bigger shoe guys? I'm just saying, like, you're...
I like shoes.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, like Matt, are you a big shoe guy?
You know, I rock like one pair of Air Forces, okay. And I'm trying to get into the low dunk game, but I'm not gonna say I'm a self-proclaimed shoe guy. I wish I was.
Well, I believe that George Kittle, in terms of game day wear, has the coolest of all the shoes on the team. Like, he's got all the different Jordan 1s. Can you ask him on my behalf, what insoles is he putting in those shoes? I want to know what the athletes are wearing on their insoles. I know this sounds stupid. I want to know. Like, the shoe game is very important. Am I the only one that doesn't look at which Jordans these guys are rocking? I want to know what the insoles are. There's no way those are just Jordan 1s and he's running out there when he's got foot issues. He's got to have specialized insoles.
If he comes in today with some Skecher tone-ups, I think that'll tell us everything that we need to know. Maybe that's his foot injury. It's more serious. So we're on shoe watch today for George Kittle. If he comes in the Skechers or the Asics, something is seriously concerned.
No, but I'm serious on the insoles, because, you know, you could pull the insole out, and like a lot of the athletes put specialized ones. Find out what he's using. I want to know.
I'm going to get you the name and number of his podiatrist.
There we go. There we go.
That would be good journalism.
I'll hook him up with my chiropractor.
Oh, what is going on here?
Matt, how does this play out, man, against the Cowboys team? They're both desperate, Niners and Cowboys. They're both desperate for a win. The Niners need to get to 4-4 before the bye week, stay in the NFC West race. What was, you know, Shanahan talked about the vibe was good yesterday. Did you feel like the vibe was loose and good yesterday when they got back on the practice field?
Yeah, the vibe with the 49, there's too many veterans for that vibe to go too south. As far as Dallas, you know, I know this is crazy. The records are almost the same. Dallas is 3-3. They're coming off the bye week, which is maybe the biggest concern. But look at the teams they've beaten. They beat a Browns team in week one, and we didn't realize how bad Cleveland was going to be. They've taken down the New York Giants, who are vying for the first overall pick in the draft. And they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers by 3 points when Justin Fields was still putting up lame duck numbers. So the Dallas Cowboys have not impressed me. And you can say the same about the Niners. They don't really have a signature impressive win, you know, outside of maybe Seattle, but then they come back the very next week and they do what they do. But I think if the Niners can field enough guys, if they can put 11 on each side on Sunday night and battle through these injuries, this is a game they win.
The special teams, right? Obviously, the punt return and kick return coverage units are just, they're so bad. Who is kicking for the Niners this weekend? Like, honest to gosh, I know the one guy who came in for Jake Moody got put on IR.
Anders Carlson.
Yeah, the other guy missed a kick. I mean, Mitch Wisnowski with the worst onside. I don't even think me and B have talked about it. The worst onside kick I've ever seen in my life.
It was pretty bad.
LJ has kicked a better onside kick than that guy, and he can't even stand up.
Yeah, I will. You know, Mitch Wisnowski, I don't know if they've got to practice these onside kicks in practice. Especially when you're starting kickers out. I'm not quite sure what that was. I believe it traveled 4 total yards. But that pretty much was like, all right, I can now head to the elevator and head down to the locker room. I don't need to see this one kneeled out. I was going to beat the rush. I know that supposedly they brought in a punter for a tryout. I haven't seen anything say that he's been signed. Anders Carlson is going to have the duties, but he had a couple of boots where on the kickoffs the Chiefs literally got a running start out of the end zone to field the kickoff. The special teams, the fact that this is not being addressed more, and Kyle Shanahan said he was asked about it a lot yesterday. It was an interrogation on special teams in that press conference, and he just kept saying and going back to, we just got to coach our guys up and fix the mistakes. I don't really know what that means. There are so many mistakes on special teams that's really putting it lightly. So, one, they don't have any return game of their own, seemingly. It seems like it's always going the other way. The other team is always getting a big return on the Niners. So I don't know what is going on in that special teams room, but it has to be fixed immediately because they are losing games because of it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. By the way, the 510 Comcast Business Text Line says, I'm more of a Gucci slipper guy. I don't have Gucci money. Maybe Matt Lively does. Real quick, Matt, I got to ask you about the Warriors because you're going to be covering the Warriors too. You do it all at KPIX. What's your thoughts on the season opener last night?
Pretty impressive, huh?
Yeah.
How about Buddy Hield? Buddy Hield going out there. Nice to see a vintage game from Andrew Wiggins. I really like Trace Jackson Davis. I liked him last year. I liked when they drafted him. And he's been impressive as can be for a second-year guy coming in and having the night that he did.
Yeah, no doubt. By the way, when it comes to the Niners and everybody wanting Robert Saleh, how funny is it that there's a lot of reporters saying Robert Saleh's just going to take a year off and chill? Huh. Well, he's resurfaced with the Green Bay Packers. How about that?
What is wrong with these football coaches? If I got fired from my multi-million dollar job that I had to be paid out on, you would not catch me in the States. I would be on a beach in a remote location without a phone.
Yeah, but Matt, if you love it, you love it. You know, the game keeps calling you.
Or you
too
have
short,
like,
can't stay
or
away.
You have like 7 to 8 kids, and you want to get out the damn house.
Well, that too. Yeah, that too.
That's fair.
Matt,
see you, Matt.
You're always good to us, man. Good to meet you last week, man. Keep up the great work, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Lively, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line, and all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands at Lathrop? Like, you know, I know Niner fans, you're allowed to be down, you're 3-4, I get all that. But I'm looking at the New York Jets, right? And I just got sent an article from the New York Post about Aaron Rodgers. And
yeah, they're the Jets.
Devontae Adams giving a fiery speech after losing to Pittsburgh, who just there last week. Yeah. I mean, the Jets. We could be the Jets, folks. At least we don't have the Jets.
We're
not the Jets. We're not the Panthers. We're not the old Commanders under Daniel Snyder. We got a good thing going on out here. Now, there's some rocky
really
roads
pick
here.
You're really the five worst organizations like, in sports?
I mean, well, some Niner fans act like we do have the worst organization.
Unreasonable.
Have you listened to some of the phone calls this week?
Well, they're unreasonable, but Bonte, can we just laugh for 1 minute? I know you got into golf, like, recently. Yeah. But there's nothing more embarrassing than when there's like you're on the first tee, and Spadoni and Nahegan, I know you guys golf, so I would love your opinion on this, but when you're at the first tee and there's a bunch of people hovering around the first tee watching you hit your first shot, and you top it, which means like you come over the top of it and you just trickle a little drive that goes like a foot and a half. That literally was what Mitch Wisnowski did on the final play of the game, trying to do the onside kick. It was the worst attempted onside kick I have ever seen in my entire life. And I'm not even being hyperbolic here. When I hear people go like, I can hit a ball out of AT&T. No, you can't. Most people can't. I legitimately believe 50% of our audience could have kicked a better onside kick than what Mitch Wisnowski did. I don't even know what he was doing.
Tom Brady literally said that, Joe Jaski.
What'd he say?
He said, that looked like me at Pebble Beach Pro-Am last year when I topped the ball at the first tee.
I didn't even hear that part of it.
You made fun of it on the fly. It was so funny you mentioned that. No, it's a great point. And there is nothing more nerve-wracking for like amateur sports, than going to that first tee at the clubhouse in front of everyone like I did at a Pinehurst out in North Carolina. I striked it, though. Don't worry. But it's very, like, when you just need to, even if it's a hook or a slice.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You can't dribble it or you can't top it.
You got to hit
it.
That's
what Wisnowski just did.
I mean, that was such a bad hot side.
Bonte, he's been terrible.
He's been okay.
No, he's been terrible.
No, that's not fair. What's the game he had, like, 3 punts inside the 10-yard line? He had some really good, like we're too hard on Wisnowski,
man. He pooched one the first punt. He pooched it like 25 yards. It took a forward bounce. They got lucky. Like, no, Presley Harvin was the guy they should have kept out of preseason.
No, Wisnowski's fine. Percy Harvin was kicking the coverage. You imagine if Harvin was kicking, there would be like 5 punt returns against the 49ers this season.
Kicking into the end zone.
Well, you can't do that every single time. You got to try to get field position to pin a team deep, right? You want to pin them inside the 10-yard line.
Will you acknowledge that was the worst onside attempt in Niner history?
I have no problem acknowledging that, but let's be real here. This guy's been solid. Wisnowski's been a good 49er for a number of years. A good Niner. Now I want to look up the punting stats. Before we pivot back to the Warriors, we're going to talk about Fitzgerald. You want to talk about optimism? I can't wait to talk to Fitz about the Golden State Warriors.
I live with these people. I love these people. They're part of my family.
Dude, I love me some Fitz. Hey, man, I can't wait to talk to Fitz about the Dubs, man. I'm feeling really good about them. But I'm looking at the punting stats here. Let me look at the punts. Let me see the longs.
You're just trying to find one metric where he rates out well?
Wow. Some guy for the Cleveland Browns had an 84-yard punt.
Well, he's been doing a lot of punting this year.
Ryan Stonehouse, Tennessee Titans, had a 75-yard punt. Damn. Wow. So it's Wisnowski. Look at here. I don't even see him on his list. Wow. Where is he at?
In the words of Bonte, you're kind of proving my point here, Shasky.
No, I don't even know why he's not able to. Maybe
he's just
qualify.
Not that good.
Maybe
and he makes Stop. Like, if you could save $1 million on the punter and just get someone else, I would do it. I would have done it already.
Yeah, this guy's not even right. Well, the Niners don't punt much. That's for sure.
This sure ain't
they, don't put much. He's got 9 kicks inside the 10-yard, inside the 20-yard line. Sassy's going to be fine. 888-957-9570. Come on, man.
It was watching that attempt. I was like, what? What am I watching? What was it? It had like a yard, and everyone stood there like, nah. Well,
I mean, you could be like me, our buddy Mikey Williams for the Olympic Club. You know, Mikey Williams, I'm in this college football pool.
Every time you bring him up, he runs into me, and he won't. Like, yeah, okay, keep going. Well, I'm never going to hear the end of this.
Well, we had a big matchup in our fantasy football league. Okay. 4-2 versus 4-2. And I was up going to the Monday Night Football.
Is this Mike a King's Evans. Tale?
Is this a King? Well, no, not really. King, because, you know, I'm not a king. I'm not a king.
Hear ye, hear ye. Quiet down, quiet down. The king has something to say. Your Majesty, could you please tell us a king's tale from your travels across the realm?
The king's tale? What is the king's tale?
I didn't vote for you.
You're good.
I'm the worst king in the world, no doubt about it. But Mikey Williams, fantasy football, Monday Night Football. We're going to get back to the Warriors. And at 8957-9570.
Versus 4-2.
The Warriors. What did you like about it last night? What did you like about the vibes? The Warriors, or excuse me, the Fantasy Football League, 4-2 versus 4-2. Baker Mayfield, Mike Evans, Baltimore defense, Justin Tucker. That's what he had left. Down 30. Now, I caught a break. Because Mike Evans popped that hammy in the second quarter. I say, whoo.
So you fist pumped when Mike Evans went down?
I didn't fist pump. I felt bad for him, but, you know, I was looking at 5-2. I'm staring at 5-2. First place in my division. And Baker Mayfield threw a cheap touchdown. So I'm like, it's all good. I'm up 4 points. I'm up 4 points as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers line up for an onside kick. And Joe Buck goes, the only team to allow an onside kick has been the Baltimore Ravens. Teams are like 1-24 or whatnot. So I go, all right, Baltimore, just recover the onside kick. They don't recover the onside kick, and Baker Mayfield gets the cheapest touchdown, and he gets the win. And, of course, I just texted him before. I was like, congratulations on the win, Mike. Oh, don't do the reverse jinx. But to Mike's credit, he's grown up a little bit. He's grown up a little bit. He hasn't bragged about it because he knows he's going to have to see me in the playoffs. But I am ticked off about losing to him. That was a monster matchup. I could have been 5-2, catching some momentum. I hate losing to Mikey Williams. I do. I beat Harry Bears and blew his ass out. But Mikey Williams? Yeah. That's a king's tale.
That is a king's tale. You're on YouTube, you can see he was wearing the cape. He's got the crown, the scepter. He slammed the scepter down at the end, declaring it a king's tale.
People are starting to take this king thing too seriously. Listen, I didn't call myself the king. All right? That was you guys that did that. You guys did that. Oh,
I think you just need to lean into it.
No. You guys, the king. And I say, well, damn it. Since I'm the king, won't you guys listen to me? And it spread like a wildfire.
It ain't nothing you can do about it.
It ain't nothing I can do about it now. I don't even get called a king in my own house.
How do you like that, Mr. Bonte?
Well, behind every great king is a better queen who understands how to be the master of whispers.
You know, there's nothing worse than laying down on the couch, getting comfortable, watching the game, and then, babe, papa, babe. I'm getting too old to be getting up and down off the couch, man.
The amount of times my wife is screaming from another room for me to do something, and I'm like, I can't even hear you. And I have to get up and like, could you take this out? And it's like, oh, my God, I'll get to that. Jeez Louise, it's like the clean police are going to come and audit us at any moment. And I'm like, no, it's okay. That sweatshirt can stay on the couch. We're fine.
I want to hear the king rip the Cowboys.
Yeah, well, I'm going to rip the Cowboys because I'm tired of these frauds. Jerry Jones, you want to talk about high-level losers who spends all his money. Jerry Jones is a high-level freaking loser. Throw a radio host. I don't even like RJ and Sean.
Loser, bro.
I don't even care for RJ and Sean at 105.3 The Fan of Dallas. They don't want the smoke. They refuse to do the simulcast. Forget them. But for Jerry Jones to come at them and then come at him a week later saying it's a privilege that I'm talking to you? No, Jerry, it's a privilege that we listen to you and we waste our time listening to you. I'm so sick of Jerry Jones and his fake fraudulent star. You haven't been good in many, many years. You haven't been to an NFC title game since 1995. You're a joke. Your fan base a joke. You're soft. You're bandwagon fans. I cannot stand this star. You overpaid Dak Prescott when you didn't have to. CeeDee Lamb. Free CeeDee Lamb. Please, free CeeDee Lamb. Get him out of there. You wasted his career. The hell with the Dallas Cowboys. I'm sick of scared Niner fans this week when the Cowboys are coming to town. This is the game that could turn your season around, playing a bitter rival that you got a deep history with. I don't want that winning streak snapped right now. I want to continue the oldage. You imagine Jerry Jones walking out of Levi Stadium, winking at everybody after a win? No, I want him to be miserable when he's walking those highways to Levi Stadium. I want him to be miserable when Calvin Watkins asks him a question. He goes, well, I'm not going to answer that, Calvin. You know what I'm saying? I want Jerry Jones to have the longest flight of his life back to Texas. The hell with Jerry Jones. Who the hell does he think he is? Taking a helicopter in the middle of practice and landing it on the practice field while they're going through 7-on-7s. Who does this stick guy think he is? He is unbelievable. Sure, he's a great businessman, but he's a terrible owner. Terrible. It ain't been the same without Jimmy Johnson. What the hell with the Cowboys? Who wants to trash it? Waterman, Corta Madera. Sashaski's in Sausalito right now, a little worried about the 49ers. Waterman, tell me you fired up for Sunday.
It's Cowboys week, baby. It doesn't matter what our record is. We can take these fools out. I don't care if we were 0-6. It's Cowboys week. We messed these fools up. They are our redheaded stepchild. Niner fans, where are we at? Where are we at? Let's lose. Let's lose this bad attitude. Okay, things haven't gone our way great this year. It's Cowboys week, baby. This is where we get right and things turn the corner. Let's go!
Come on. That's what I'm talking about, Waterman. That's the type of energy I'm talking about. The scare stuff, the scare tactics, high-level losers. I got David Fresno calling me out yesterday. We got TC talking about. I swear to God, Shasky, I've been so disappointed in Niner fans over the last couple weeks. Seattle, they go up to Seattle and beat the hell out the Seahawks. I was talking to somebody yesterday at NBC, my boy Flo. What up, Flo? He listens to the show every day. He goes, Bonte, these callers this week, man, I'm listening. It's not good. And then after they win
but
in Seattle.
But does Flo think I'm good?
No, he's ticked off at the